Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Winter Sleeping Arrangements Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You may recall that last week I read some very positive quotes in honor of women.
I'm sure you were hoping to get back into the house before the chill of winter.
Well, I think you should start building a little pallet there on the garage floor for me. Because here's one called, To Women Everywhere from a Man Who's Had Enough.
Oh, you just can't help yourself,
no,
can you?
No, I can't. All right.
Allow me to officially distance myself.
Well, I would
How
like
do
to...
I, what are we, can I move way over here? How's
wait,
that?
Wait a minute.
Can you still hear me?
I can't even see. Here, well, number one. To women everywhere from a man who's had enough. Learn to work the toilet seat. If it's up, you put it down. We need it up. You need it down. You don't hear us complaining about you leaving it down. Men see in only 16 colors. Peach is a fruit, not a color. If you think you're fat, you probably are. Don't ask us. We refuse to answer. Oh, man.
Oh. Go ahead. Read some of the good ones.
If you ask a question you don't want an answer to, expect an answer that you ain't going to like. If something we said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one.
Oh, God.
Here's the last one.
Do you have a guy like on permanent retainer? An attorney?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
A headache that lasts 17 months is a problem. See a doctor. But I like the first one. Learn to work the toilet seat. If it's up, put it down. I like it.
Look, if you'd like to call us and change the subject to cars, please call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kimberly from Bethany, West Virginia.
Hi, Kimberly. Do you have a problem with this seat down up business?
Well, of course, but it has something to do with the approach. You know, we're kind of approaching backwards, whereas you guys approach forward, so you can kind of see when the seat is up or down.
Well, don't you have lights down there in West Virginia?
What are you going by, field? I guess so.
Yeah, but it's kind of a shock when you go in at night, you know. You don't want to turn on the light all the time.
That's exactly the argument I always get. At night. You go in at night. What are you doing walking around at night?
Well, you see, you're getting up at night to go into the bathroom and get aspirin for the headache that's lasted 17 years.
And while you're there, you might as well take care of other business as well.
Yeah.
All right, what do you want, Kim?
Well,
may we call you Kim?
Yes, of course.
Or do you prefer Kimberly?
Oh, either one is okay.
Yeah, all
okay,
right.
Good.
The problem that I've got is something that's been going on for a while now. And I do a lot of driving between Bethany, West Virginia, and Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I can be driving down the road, and I'll stop, come back to my car, and it won't start. So I open up the hood.
Well, here we go.
And it's a 1991 Subaru Loyale. So I open up the hood. The spare tire is in the front. So I unscrew the spare tire, haul the spare tire out, use the screw from the spare tire, reach in, bang on the starter really, really hard, and then start the car up. And it works.
Ah.
So you turn the key and you get a click or something, but that's all you get.
Yeah.
How did you discover this technique?
Well, I discovered it when I was on a road trip again between Louisville and
Bethany. You just whacked everything under there. And that's the one that worked.
And well, no, then the car died, and we had the car towed to a mechanic. And he reached in and banged on the starter, and I figured, well,
okay.
If he was able to do it, why can't I?
Yeah.
And he didn't suggest replacing the starter at that point? Because
that's what you need. No. We actually replaced the starter not too long ago, but we replaced it with a rebuilt starter.
Yeah. And often we've discovered that a lot of the rebuilts out there have the same problem that the original ones had, especially for these kinds of starters, which are called gear reduction starters.
Gear reduction starters.
Gear reduction. Subaru uses it.
AMC uses it. They still use it, aren't they?
You know, Toyota has been using it for years. But for whatever reason, these starters are subject to these kinds of failures where the starter, in fact, won't engage because the brushes aren't making proper contact with the armature. And all you're going to do is tap the thing, and then you make a good contact. It's akin to hitting your refrigerator when it won't run. You know, the refrigerator won't kick in.
Or the TV. I mean, it's a classic.
You give it a belt. And boom, boom, the thing kicks into action. And then, of course, once the car is running, you don't need it again until you shut it off. So there are lots of remedies here. One is to replace the starter with a better rebuild.
I've got it.
I got it, too.
Okay.
I never thought of this solution before.
Go to the hardware store.
Go to the hardware store.
Spend $1.99.
And you're going to do the same thing I'm going to do?
Have another key made.
No.
Oh, no?
I'm going to buy a mousetrap. And I'm going to duct tape it to the starter. And I'm going to run a little wire through the firewall. When the car doesn't start, I trip the mousetrap. Boom!
You've been talking to Fred Glass lately. We have a friend who is renowned for his inventions like this, or his solutions.
And his inventiveness in general.
So that's what you would do, the mousetrap.
That's what Fred would do. It's okay by me.
So I'll take it to the mechanic or the dealer and say, hey, put a mousetrap in my starter.
Put a mousetrap or a new starter. And I would buy a second key.
Okay.
So when you pull in to have
lunch. Oh, I see.
You just leave the thing running. But a starter is what you need, Kim.
Yeah. Okay, a starter.
Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Anthony. I'm from Plainfield, Connecticut.
Hi, Anthony. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing just fine. I love your show.
That's too bad.
Hey, how do you pronounce your name? Migliozzi or Migliozzi?
Magliozzi.
Magliozzi. Okay. A lot of people don't do the GLI. No. Hey, look, here's what my problem is.
Do you have an Italian sort of last name?
My name is Guglielmi. Guglielmi means Williams.
Yeah.
Williams.
Anthony Williams, that's me.
Anthony Williams.
Hey, by the way, see if you can tell me what I'm studying in school. What am I going to school for?
I see in your future, I see engineering of some kind.
No, I see waste management.
I'm doing that, but I'm going to school for fine arts. I'm also a fine arts student.
Fine arts?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it means, I beat copper into plowshares.
What is a plowshare anyway?
Well, a copper was anyhow. But here's my story. I've got a 94 LeBaron, and it's got all the bells and whistles, the computer, the compass, and the leather seats and everything.
Yeah.
It's got more road noise that you can't believe, right? Now, my wife has got a 92 Acclaim. Basically the same car with a four-cylinder, and she'd get tires. I buy them at like Benny's when they're on sale, You can drive this car 70 miles an hour and have an intelligent discussion.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's got to be my tires, right?
Yeah.
Like if I'm driving down the hill and I put the car in neutral, I still hear the road noise. But at a stop sign, I don't hear a thing. The car is, real quiet.
Mm-hmm. Aha.
So I'm saying I got three options. One, I can put the tires on my wife's car and tell her I'm giving her the good tires and take the cheap tires for my car. Right?
A man after my own.
That's one option. Number two is I can, tell the insurance company somebody stole my tires and I still go to Penny's and buy a set of tires.
So far we got two really good options.
Right.
Or the third one, and this is probably the best one, really. I want to, in the old days you couldn't swap your radials, but I want to take like the left front and put it on the right rear.
Sure.
What kind of tire? What are these tires?
They're Goodyears.
Well, I'm going to suggest that something else is wrong with your car.
Could be a wheel bearing?
There you go. That's what I wrote. I wrote down.
Do you think so? Get out of here. Well, what other symptoms would a wheel bearing do?
Well, the wheel bearing, the symptom is that the noise stops when you ain't moving.
Yeah.
Which you got.
Sometimes it'll stop if you're taking a turn. Sometimes.
Or you can alter it.
Does it go like wah-wah when you're making a turn?
Well, yes, it can. And sometimes if you're going straight ahead and you hear the noise and you turn left or right, you can get the noise to change in volume.
I can do that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
And it's not your tires.
I think you have a bad wheel bearing. And
you don't think I should put them on my wife's car? Right?
Well, you can.
Well, I like the insurance. Yeah. Tell me more about the insurance company.
So you are in some kind of an artisanry program at your community college. Where are you?
No, I retired.
Oh, you're retired?
I'm 66 years old.
Get out. You sounded like you were 26.
Oh, thank you. I feel that way, too.
I counted you for 26.
I do a half-hour exercise every morning. But I retired, and then I started doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
So you're beating swords into plowshares now.
Yes, I'm making a copper weather vane.
Yeah.
Like 3 feet high, the motif.
Yeah.
The whole thing is going to be like 9 feet high.
Jeez,
so
really?
That's one of my projects.
Is this what my brother has to look forward to when he retires?
I was just thinking of you. Because you sound like my brother. My brother, get this, my brother has started a new business. He's making birdhouses.
Really?
Yeah. He makes birdhouses out of stones.
Out of stones?
Out of stones. You know, like that rustic look?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, little stones, you know.
Little stones.
Oh, yeah, I
pebbles.
See what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
There's only one problem. He's made now about five of these little things, and the birds won't go near it.
The rent's too high.
We're going to make them out of copper.
I do.
Make them out of copper.
That's what they may think of it. He's got a copper roof on these things.
I'm telling you, they're works of art.
They are. I have to admit, they're quite
lovely.
Maybe
he should go to school, too.
Yeah.
I did.
University near you, try a nice fine arts.
Well, I'm going to send him down to you. Get him out of here.
Anthony, I tell you, we're ready for some collaborative effort here, you and I.
Yeah?
Yeah. As soon as you get this wheel bearing thing figured out, take a ride up to Boston.
Yeah, take it to your mechanic, and he will figure out which wheel bearing is gone.
Let me tell you, this car, best car I ever had. I was never a Chrysler man until I read Iacocca's first book.
Yeah.
And I bought an 85 Chrysler.
You did?
Oh, that was the Smoke and Mirrors book? What was that?
It started out $9,000. When I finished, it was $15,000. I said, boy, can this guy sell cars? Then I read the second book.
Yeah.
I bought another Chrysler.
Really?
I hope you don't write any more books. I can't buy another car right now. I got to take it easy.
Hey, Anthony, thanks for calling.
Hey, I appreciate your help.
It's a pleasure.
A pleasure.
Keep up there. Keep it up.
See
you later.
Bye-bye.
You'd want to have coffee with him.
Oh, I liked Anthony. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Judy from Ludlow, Massachusetts.
Ludlow.
Yeah.
That would be like in Western Massachusetts, and I think there's a paper company there.
No.
That's Irving.
Irving's out on Route 2. Ludlow is like the Mass Pike.
Exactly, exit 7.
Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, my problem is a turnpike problem.
Ah, cool.
I have an 84 Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 125,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And I love this car to death.
Good.
I mean, I just love it. It's just, it's wonderful. Around town, I have no problems. I get on the Mass Turnpike heading for Pittsfield, and just the other side of Westfield, there is an incline, and it goes up for about 6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not straight up, but it's... And when I get halfway up there, my car starts acting up. It starts kicking and bucking and stammering and, you know, I think it's going to stall.
Uh-huh. Really?
But that's the only place it happens.
And it loses power, obviously, during all of this.
Right, right. And I've taken it down to my friendly mechanic, who happens to be my brother-in-law also.
Mm.
Does it work for free?
No.
On your car? Okay.
No.
Just checking.
And they can't find anything wrong with it.
They can't. What have they done? Have they done the obvious stuff?
Yes.
What?
You know, they put on the analyzer and they've checked everything out. And
They think it's an analyzing problem.
Well, no, they don't think it is because they can't find anything wrong
know.
With it.
Well, I mean, I hate to mention the obvious, but something as silly or as insignificant as a dirty fuel filter could cause this problem, or a weak fuel pump.
Yeah, I mean, they put it on the analyzer. Did they actually check the fuel pump pressure?
No.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Another problem with putting it on the analyzer is it's analyzing under different circumstances than when the problem occurs. Because obviously you don't have the problem when you're going on a straightaway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but if you had something overheating, it wouldn't show up on the analyzer.
Yeah,
now, would it?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anything's overheating.
Well, I mean, it occurs to me that when you're driving up the hill, the car is requiring more energy to get it propelled up the hill.
Uh-huh.
And
wait a minute. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, yeah.
You are about to hear an unencumbered by the thought process answer.
That's right. No, I haven't got an answer. I'm just speculating here that one of the things
alert,
that happens when you're climbing a hill is the engine gets hotter. No, it may not be getting hot enough for any of the lights to come on.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering to myself out loud, if something's happening, and I don't know what that something could be, tell you the truth.
Oh.
when this happens, do you actually feel a degradation in power, or do you actually feel a missing? Do you actually feel like the engine is...
She said she's afraid it's going to stall. It's running so lousy.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like it's, you know, it really is...
Does it buck at all?
It's actually bucking. The car's actually bucking.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a little bit. It's doing it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that could certainly cause this problem is a bad ignition module, and they probably have tested the ignition system. But
I think I've changed every module in this car.
Well,
I paid through the nose on all these modules.
I'm sure you have. Your brother-in-law buy a boat yet? I'm sure you've changed the module at least once in this car, but you may have a bad one. But I would start with the fuel pressure test and certainly take the fuel filter out and change that.
Okay.
If the fuel system stuff works out,
okay,
not to be, if it turns out not to be the culprit, then okay, I would go ahead and replace the module.
Oh, good.
I think that's going to fix it.
See, my guess would be, my first choice would be for fuel system problem.
That's wonderful.
Barring that, however, I'm going to go out on a limb here and go back to my heat theory.
Okay.
And suggest that what's happening is when the engine heats up that much, the coil is failing.
The coil. I'm writing this all down here.
Write that down. When that's right, please call back and tell my brother.
Okay.
That, my God, that moron of your brother was right.
Okay.
All right, once every 10 years.
See, because I have feelings about this. I admit it has nothing to do with the thought process, but I have a feeling about this car. In fact, I'm going to tell you what color. I'm going to tell you just to prove to you that I have a feeling about this car is silver.
How about black? Try black.
Well, underneath the black.
Silver primer. You didn't know they repainted this car, did you?
This car's been in an accident. Thanks for calling, Judy.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Yeah, this is when Berman comes rushing into the studio with those reams of timely automotive research, the stuff that he's pulled off the web?
No, this is where he looks up from the homepage of Cheerleaders of the Pac-10 and says, what, are we on the air?
Well, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Road so slick I couldn't steer, snow too thick to see. Running short on shoulder and my nine lives running out on me. Sheer cliff rising to the left, drop off to the right. And nothing past that guardrail but 1,000 feet endless night. I sing bulldog train, shim my ball and chain. Racing, rocking, tightrope walking, little eyes of Jane.
And even though companies that make sound-deadening acoustic tiles see their stock prices shoot up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Hey, y'all. I'm Sam Sanders, host of It's Been a Minute. On my show, we catch you up on all the things in news and culture.
The Space Force? I totally missed this. What is the Space Force?
Stop it. Stacey, you don't know about the Space Force?
No.
What?
I've been in my apartment for 4 months.
Oh, man.
Crushing it, Stacey. Thank you. Feeling good.
News without the despair. Listen now to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and woids, as they say in Brooklyn, woids to live by.
And I don't know if he's from Brooklyn, but John Tegeler sent this to us. These are simply little models, words to live by.
Yeah, inspirational little messages.
Inspirational little messages. Here's one. Plan to be spontaneous tomorrow. How many of you believe in telekinesis? Raise my hand. I'd kill for a Nobel Peace Prize. This is what Catherine will like this. Don't be sexist. Broads hate that. And how about eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked up into jet engines. If this is for Mayor. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is definitely not for you. I like
it. Words
to live by. Skydiving is definitely not for you.
Yeah, because you don't get second tries screw up. Huh? What do we do? Anyway, if you'd like to call about your car or anything else for that matter, the number is 888 888- 877-227-8255, which just happens to be 888. You ready for this? Car Talk. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
What are the chances of that?
Hello.
Hi, this is Kelly calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Kelly. Do you have an E or a couple of E's?
It's just a Y.
Okay.
I have a 1979 Mercedes 350 SD turbo diesel. And in the past few months, she's been leaking liquid from above the gas pedal. I notice it doesn't happen on the highway, but only when I'm going up or down a little dip or valley.
And is it like a slippery liquid?
Yeah, it's a little oily. And I've smelled it and tasted it.
Oh.
Yeah. And it doesn't have a smell, and it tastes like water. You know, it doesn't really have a taste.
Oh.
Jeez.
Well, it can only be one of two things, and
if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it must be transmission fluid.
No,
it can't be. No, it's water.
No, I don't think so. Only because you said it was oily, and...
Yeah,
my brother missed that, because he was dozing.
No, I was busy running my mouth.
Busy running your mouth.
But so it's oily.
It can only be antifreeze or brake fluid.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's brake fluid.
Uh-oh.
I think the antifreeze would have a distinctive taste.
It would taste sweet. And by the way, it's a deadly poison, but that's...
Yeah, so don't do the test too often.
Okay.
Well, brake fluid doesn't have much of a taste, although...
I've never really had a good shot of it myself.
Oh, I've had... You haven't?
Is it like Sambuca?
I never made you one of those brake fluid high colonics. Oh, God. Well, I don't... See, this car has power brakes, and all the lines are on the other side of the firewall.
I know. That's why I'm having
trouble.
I
don't see any way that brake fluid could get into the passenger compartment.
I don't either.
Yeah, that would...
I mean, in terms of what it really ought to be antifreeze.
Okay.
Because the antifreeze is there, it's got a chance to get the drop on your dip on your feet, maybe.
Here's what you should do. You should feel antifreeze. You know, take the radiator cap off and stick your finger in there and rub the stuff between your fingers. And you
could
do the same thing also with your brake fluid, although I doubt that that's what it is, and see which one most closely compares to your sample.
Okay, and there's nothing I need to do about it, though.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Uh-oh, okay.
Because it's leaking. The car is old enough that who knows what the cooling system looks like. It might be all rotted away.
Yeah.
In which case, it's probably going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 to fix it.
Oh, don't tell me that. No.
Check your brake fluid, make sure it's not low.
Okay.
Check the antifreeze, make sure it's not low.
Okay.
And then you should tell someone you're pretty sure you got an antifreeze leak under the dash.
Okay. Great.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Thank
Kelly.
You.
See you.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey. How's it going?
Hey. Good. Hey. Who's this?
This is Leaf from Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Leaf like an Erickson?
Yeah, except for my last name's Gustafson.
Oh,
Chester Springs. Are you an Amish person?
No, I'm married.
Are you calling on your cell phone?
And I teach at a Quaker school, so I guess I'm kind of in the ballpark.
Oh, that's close. What do you teach, Leaf?
Language arts, 7th and 8th grade language arts.
Is that differentiated from language by the fact that you don't actually teach a language, you just teach the art of language?
Well, the theory being that, you know, there are various skills in the traditional subject of English, you know, the listening, the speaking, the reading, the, you know, so if you incorporate all that into an art, you know, then you can cover all the bases rather than just focusing on the
vocabulary
and writing of English.
Rather than focus on actually learning anything.
I thought if I couched it in enough terms, that was the thrust of my question, actually, and I guess that you answered it.
I've had some experience with schools like that,
where
they're more interested in all the touchy-feely abstract stuff than actually teaching anything. That's okay.
Right, like mathematics arts.
Yeah. Am I supposed to be insulted here? Or?
No.
You could take it that way.
Are you putting down the fact that I'm a huge warm fuzzy?
No, not at all. What's on your mind today, Leaf?
Well, I really need some advice. I mean, there's a small problem, but I need some advice. I have a ritual that I have formed through the years with my Civic hatchback. And what I do is I thoroughly clean the car inside and out before I take it in for service. Now, my thinking is that if I thoroughly clean the car, when I take it in for service, they're going to look at the car and think, wow, this guy really cares about this thing.
Yep.
We'll pay extra special attention.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I just took the car in for the 90,000-mile tune-up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at what they did and the price of everything, and I just don't think my ritual's working. So I'm actually thinking of trashing the ritual. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, I didn't just vacuum over the mats.
You armor-rolled and everything.
I would take the mats out.
You did.
Why are you saying that the ritual isn't working? Because they charge the heck out of you?
Okay, well, I think this might be where, they did charge the heck out of me, but here's where the small problem might come in.
Yeah.
Whenever I come to a stop, this is from probably, I might have had the car for about a year, and then this started to happen. Sometimes it almost stalls. In fact, it comes to the point where the engine light illuminates slightly.
Yeah.
And then it kicks back into idle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, well, this ritual is going to take care of the problem because they're going to, during, you know, regular tune-ups and everything, they're going to, of course, find this because I take such good care of my car.
Oh.
And they will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I see.
Well, it's still happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So that's why you think it backfired. Just to address your primary concern, I think that people whose cars are all cleaned up and shiny and look like they've been taken care of by the owner are treated better by the technician who works on the car.
So really?
And contrary to what you might think, the bill is not going to be lower. It's going to be higher because he's going to pay special attention and spend extra time in the car knowing that you are someone who wants his car taken care of.
Right. You're an anal retentive, and he's going to make sure that you are pleased.
It is an automatic catch-22.
It's an automatic catch-22 in that, but on the other side of the coin, you are getting what you hope and I would expect to be better service and better care for your car, but you're paying extra for it.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, the other problem, the other mistake you're making, a mistake that you're making, is expecting the mechanic to find things without your explaining them to him.
Of course.
I mean, that's a very, very big mistake.
We can't even find the problems when they do explain the stuff to us.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect the guy to notice this peculiar little problem. First of all, if he even notices it, he doesn't know that it happens to you day after day. He says, it happened once, who cares, forget about it. You've got to be very, very explicit. We are not dealing with intuitive people here.
We are not
dealing with people who can make great leaps of logic. We're dealing with people to whom you must be very, very explicit and clear.
Well, and to defend technicians, because I am one.
You say thicknicians?
Not thicknicians. You don't fix nothing that the customer didn't complain about.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you get yourself in trouble doing that. So if it isn't on the repair order,
forget it.
You might call it to the customer's attention, but you just don't go ahead and fix it because the customer has a right to complain. You say, well, I noticed your rear view mirror had fallen off and I glued it back on. I didn't want you to do that. I was going to do that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you married, Leaf?
Yes, I am.
Well, I suggest to you, having had much experience in marital disputes, I suggest to you that you don't use this same philosophy with your wife. She ought to be noticing this. She ought to know that she blah, 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 whatever it is. She ain't going to notice it. Not because she's stupid, but you got to learn to communicate better.
Wow.
You got to open up, man. You need a language arts course. You're not using the language correctly.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, for a guy who teaches language arts, you've been quite laconic about all of this.
Well, actually, now you would have only learned that word had you actually been in a language arts class. Yeah.
Well, you have to mend your ways before it's too late, Leaf. You have to turn over a new leaf.
I was waiting for you guys to do that, but you know, if I didn't have this small problem, then I would have never been able to talk to you.
Well, we're glad for you that you called, because I think we've straightened you out, man.
It's going to change your life, man.
Yeah, and it didn't cost me a thing. Well, maybe it did.
Maybe it did.
Looking down at that last bill, but...
What I like best, though, is the way you came onto the show by saying, hey, that made my day. Yo, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Good
see,
luck.
See you, Lee.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there.
Hi. Hey there. You with the stars.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Vicky from Louisville, Colorado.
Vicky. You know, I'm taking offense here at how familiar our listeners are becoming with us. Vicky says, hey there. The other guy says, hey, yo.
Well, you know why? Because it's probably becoming apparent, although it wasn't in the beginning, the first 10
yeah,
or 12
no
years
class.
We did the show, there were a couple of jamokes.
Oh, I guess so. All right, Vicky, enough of that.
All right.
What's on your mind?
My mind is my Volvo.
Uh-huh.
It's a 240 wagon, 82,000 miles, time to die.
Oh, kidding? Are you kidding?
Hardly broken in.
Really?
Seriously. It's not even halfway to time to die.
Well, that's my hope. That's my hope. But I've had my first problems with it this summer, so.
Oh, you'll have plenty of problems, but that doesn't mean it's going to die.
You ever notice that Volvo dealerships have the best waiting rooms, the nicest furniture?
Because they know you're going to be there a long time.
I know you're going to be there often.
Yeah, the only place that has the American plan. You can sleep over and have breakfast.
I avoid the dealerships if at all possible.
Oh, okay. So what's
the problem?
Well, the problem is the car started overheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had the problem was when we had this big power outage, and I got stuck in a lot of big traffic jams, and it was a really hot day, and I had the AC on full blast because the car is dark blue and had been sitting out in the sun, and it was hot.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, well, that was just a fluke, you know, because I was stuck in awful traffic.
That's what I thought the first six times it happened to my car.
Right. Well, but then a couple weeks later, I was going over Monarch Pass here, which is a pretty tough pass, pulling a little pop-up tent trailer, which I pull with my car.
Uh-huh.
And I had trouble again, and that whole trip I had trouble. And so I stopped in Durango, and I had them put a new thermostat in.
Good.
And as soon as I pulled out of there, it did the exact same thing. I mean, I wasn't 5 minutes down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had since also had a water pump put in.
Good.
But
it wasn't that either.
It wasn't that either.
What made these Durangans put a thermostat in there? Did they check anything else?
Well, no. I kind of asked them to. I was going to get a thermostat, and I was going to put it in myself, actually.
Oh, Vicky.
No, actually, the thermostat was a very good guess.
Well,
now that, because the thermostat was not opening up enough to cause, allow sufficient circulation under high-speed, high-load operation.
That was kind of my hope.
And I'm going to have to, now that I know that that didn't fix it, and the water pump didn't fix it, I'm going to give you the right answer because it's almost the only thing left.
Now, should I also tell you that this problem usually happens after I've gotten the car up to temperature and I stop it for like 10 minutes and then I start again, like I stop and get gas or something and
irrelevant.
Then start driving again?
Irrelevant.
Immaterial and immature.
Okay.
Inconsistent.
I didn't mean
and unconscious. It's the radiator.
Oh, the radiator.
The radiator's plugged
now
up.
When the water pump got replaced, they looked at the radiator and said it looked fine.
Well, it looks fine.
You could, for example,
I look fine.
You can look at my brother and say, doesn't look bad. But it's what's inside that counts.
It's what's going on inside.
And when you look at him, you know there's nothing going on inside.
Well, supposedly somebody looked inside. But
looking inside is not good enough.
No.
You have to have someone take out the radiator, as mine is being taken out as we speak, I might add. And check the flow to see how much stuff is going through it.
Okay.
And I'm going to guess that.
I was going to guess the same
thing. You probably have never had it flushed.
Well, that guess is correct.
Yeah, that guess is correct. And now it's all crudded up. And if you're lucky, they can clean it out with an acid bath. If you're not lucky, you'll have to replace it for $300 or $400 or whatever.
Oh, don't tell me that.
No, but it's good that you called, actually, because I'm sure there are dozens of people listening to the show as we speak, maybe four or five people, who said to themselves just now, gee, I didn't know you had to flush out the coolant
system. No, after all, the container, the antifreeze container says permanent antifreeze.
Yeah, it means you can put it in there and leave it in permanently.
How often should it be flushed?
It should be done every couple of years, but at the very least every 3 years.
Oh,
but you're going to do it tomorrow.
But it may be so plugged now that, in fact, you cannot get it cleaned out. And if that's the case, you'll have to replace the radiator. But I guarantee you, when they do that flow test, they will determine that the radiator is plugged up.
Okay. And if not, I can send you the bill, right?
Of course. Send us the bill. You think, get in line, lady. You think it'll be the first time?
Just one of many, huh?
See you, Vicky. Good luck.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How's that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe. I was going for Miami. You know, it's just a three-day ride, and it's 70 degrees outside in the shade. Perfect winter. But now the palm trees beckon me, and I've been pleased with a high degree, watching alligators bask in the sun of the Everglades. Well, they said she'd run forever, but someone at the factory lied, 'cause it's 5 a.m. and it's 10 below, and I think my car just died. And even though medical researchers everywhere list nausea, vertigo, and a desire to get one's pledge back as common car talk side effects, whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
With civil unrest, the pandemic, and the economic crisis, you want to know what's happening right when you wake up. And that's why there is Up First, the news you need in about 10 minutes from NPR News. Listen every day.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and yet another great theory.
This is from Joel Newman. One morning, I was driving my brand new Honda Civic down the interstate en route to Charlotte, the Charlotte Auto Fair, listening to Weekend Edition on public radio. Weekend Edition ended and your show came on. Since I was not yet thoroughly familiar with my new car, I was reluctant to fiddle with the dashboard knobs while driving at highway speeds. Thus, I did not change the station. During your show, a woman called to say that she had dented her car and then allowed her husband to believe that someone else had done it.
I remember it well.
Remember that? She
asked, Volkswagen. Bus.
Yeah?
Vanagon.
Vanagon, yeah. She asked if she should confess to her husband. You said no. Later in the conversation, it came out that her husband was a Car Talk listener, and she planned a ruse to prevent him from hearing her conversation with you. With that additional information, you changed your answer and told her to confess.
Yes.
I remember that, too.
When you think you're going to be caught, confess.
I assume for the purpose of the discussion that follows that you were correct on both counts. That the answer to her question in the abstract was no, but the answer to the very same question when asked out loud was yes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think that you have stumbled upon an important new principle.
Why stumble?
Yeah. You are probably familiar with Heisinger's uncertainty principle.
Heisinger's. No. Heisinger's. Who's the guy
Huzunga.
That owns, the guy that owns a Blockbuster? Heisinger. Werner Heisenberg.
He says Heisinger.
Heisinger's good.
Right.
Maybe that's another one.
It is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle that certain aspects of some atomic particles cannot be measured accurately. For the very process of measurement changes the particles.
There you go.
I believe that you have discovered a related principle. In Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, the very act of measurement changes the measurement. In the phenomenon which you so elegantly demonstrated on the radio, the very act of asking a question out loud changes the answer to the question. I propose that you call your principle the Magliozzi ignoramus principle. Snobs who enjoy dropping terms like that will be attracted by the Italianate Magliozzi, followed by the Latinate ignoramus. I predict that this new principle will have many valuable applications, particularly in the field of politics. I congratulate you on your addition to the store of human knowledge, Joel Newman, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The very act of asking a question out loud changes the answer to the question.
Absolutely. We've been mipped.
Mipped?
Mipped. Magliozzi, ignoramus.
Well, think about it, man.
Hey, some of you may be wondering.
Here.
What's that?
There's the phone number in Roman numerals. V-I-I-V. It makes perfect sense.
Hey, some of you may be wondering where the puzzler is.
Hey, I was wondering where the puzzler is.
Get off my back, will you?
Well, if you need to shock your brain cells out of their summer torpor, or if you're just bored, then you can head on over to cartalk.com and check out this week's archival puzzler.
Archival, does that mean it was so great that we saved it? Archived for future generations?
No, it just means we got less than usual number of complaints about it.
Good enough. Well, look, if you have a complaint about your car or anything else, you can reach us at the following number. IVII VIII 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 VIII
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Dora. I'm calling from West Monroe, Louisiana.
Hi, Dora.
West Monroe. Oh, West Monroe.
Yes.
Louisiana.
That's correct.
So what's up?
Okay. I have a 1986 Dodge Ram van.
Yeah.
And it's a hungry van. It has an appetite for alternators. I am on my fourth alternator in about a six-week period.
6 weeks? Oh.
In about 6 weeks.
No kidding.
The first time it happened, I had never had any trouble with it. I'm driving home, and the digital display on the clock starts flickering, and the radio started cutting out, and this happened more when I was slowing down at the intersections.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it home, but then it wouldn't start after that. It kind of went brrrr.
Yep, good,
and
good.
And so I thought, oh, it's the battery, it's, you know, whatever. So I jump-started it in the morning and drove it to my mechanic. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, it's the alternator, I'll replace it.
When he said that, did he do anything, or did he just say that?
He said he had checked the battery and had checked the regulator and had checked the generator and whatever. So I picked it up.
Yeah.
The very next day, I had driven it less than 50 miles, and it did the same thing.
Mm.
So he towed it back to the shop, and he said, oh, I must have just put in a bad alternator. So he replaced it.
And so, I mean, this is an interesting behavior tactic here, that no matter how many times you go back,
mm-hmm.
he puts another alternator in. I mean, at some point.
It gets better. No, he's a good man. He's a good mechanic. He's always taken good care of this van. He's stymied, right? So he says, I said, what are you going to do? He says, well, let me see. So I found he took it to his mechanic.
Mm.
My mechanic takes it to his mechanic, and
good.
His mechanic says, it needs a new alternator.
So he puts another one in,
which
number four.
Because, I mean, the alternators are burning up for some reason. And he said, well, you probably just got a hold of some bad alternators, and we're thinking three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting.
So you're now on your fourth alternator, and it's currently working?
It's working now, but.
But she only put it in yesterday.
Yeah, the joy of driving around wondering. Is
no, it's
kind
not
going to
work for long. I mean, I don't think it's
well,
going to work
for long.
You
know, it is possible, and we have had it happen. I not with an alternator, but I remember some years ago buying four.
Water pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new air fresheners. No, four brand new carburetors. I can't remember. It was some Ford product.
Yeah.
And we diagnosed the carburetor as bad.
Uh-huh.
We put a brand new one on, and the thing ran worse than with the old one.
Oh, my goodness.
So they sent us another one, and we put that one on. And then, of course, at that point, when it misbehaved again, you begin to second guess, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was wrong. It couldn't have been the carburetor.
I screwed it up. But I timidly asked the parts store to send us the third one, to which he replied, what are you, nuts? and that one did the same thing, and I must admit, it took great courage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, so you admire this mechanic of hers.
Well, he
because
perseveres.
He is persevering, and he will not give up until he gets a good alternator.
Well, it may.
And he will not veer
well,
from his
in this case with the
diagnosis.
Carburetors, they had built all these with the wrong jets.
Oh, my.
And in fact, they were all defective. And I ended off getting the fourth one from another source.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
it was from a different batch. And in fact, that fixed the car and it ran beautifully.
Wow.
It was 6 months later that we got it out. But it's very possible that whatever they did wrong to the first one, if they're the same batch, they did wrong to all of them.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe his mechanic got one from a different batch. But like I said, the suspense is killing me.
Well, and us too. And us too. So, I mean, aside from the obvious stuff like, you know, having put the belt on too tightly, which could damage the alternator, I rather doubt that he could have done that,
mm-hmm.
you know, four times in a row. I think this thing has an external voltage regulator, and he must have checked that.
He told me he had checked everything.
The other thing you should look for is to make sure that the thing is grounded correctly. Sometimes there's a ground strap that goes between the engine block and the chassis
mm-hmm.
that gets removed or falls off or whatever, and that can affect the charging rate. So he should double-check to see if that ground is there.
Okay.
And other than that, tell him to order an alternator from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
See if this doesn't fix it.
All right.
Because he's gotten them all from the same parts store, in all likelihood. And there may be just a batch of them. Maybe they've got a bad bunch of rectifier bridges.
That's possible, but it's been so disconcerting.
It seems so unlikely, though.
It does, but just remember...
Despite my brother's little story.
The example of the carburetor.
At this point, I mean, I sprinkle it with holy water and say an Our Father and three Hail Marys and get in and crank it up and... and hope for the
That was going to be my next suggestion. Well, good luck, Dora. This is very interesting.
Well, thank you. I am so delighted to talk to you.
And we're delighted to talk to you.
You are my automotive icon. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Dora.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Okay, I'm in San Diego.
Who are you?
Well, they call me Crash Corwin.
Crash Corwin.
Yes.
Crash. Now, I wonder why.
Oh, I don't know if you want to hear the story.
Oh, you kidding?
Of course we do.
Every detail.
Oh, God. Well, make a long story short, I was in the Navy, and I fell off one of those great big ships.
You did?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so bad because I didn't land in the water. I landed on a pier.
Oh, that's better?
Well, it would have been worse, but the guy that I landed on that was on the pier softened the blow.
How high up were you when you fell off?
It was one of those rope ladders in Subic Bay, Philippines. It was kind of drizzling, rainy, and it was about 20 guys on the length of this whole ladder.
Yeah.
And I was being real show-off because a couple hundred guys down below watching, a couple hundred guys up above, waiting to get off because we didn't have a gangplank, and I started going over the guys, showing off. Something happens to me when everybody looks at me. I got to do something smart. And so it was working. It was working fine. And I was going over these guys, straightening out my elbows, kind of going around them. And then, well, I stepped on this guy's fingers, and then the whole line started kind of slowly twisting and kind of doing waves. And, well, I just clawed my way down these guys' backs and landed on this guy's shoulders just as he was walking away.
Oh, great. And, of course, a fight broke out.
That's good, Crash.
Yeah, I need to be proud of that.
So has your life been one constant calamity after another?
No, it's been pretty good, but the name has been good to carry me through the little music I play around town and stuff and the dance instructions. So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's
good. So what are you calling us
pretty,
for?
Pretty much eliminates the possibility of you being like a driving instructor.
Yeah.
I got fired from that job a long time ago.
Yeah, he's our chief instructor, Crash Corbin.
Yeah, business didn't go well. I had to quit.
So what's going on?
Well, I have this Mazda 626.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My girlfriend and I get sick when we drive this car. We really do.
Really?
It sways from left to right. It's just nauseating.
Maybe you're making each other sick.
Oh,
so
man.
Is this a slow sway?
It's a yaw, right? In other words, the car...
It's like being at sea again, back in the Navy. And some ships have a list. They kind of, it's like being in an elevator. It kind of goes up, but then it at the peak it goes to the left and goes to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the power steering is oversensitive. I turn it just a little bit,
yeah.
And then that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And, I put new shocks on the car. That helped a lot. And I put new bushings on the tie rods or something to kind of help it from sway bar, whatever.
Sway bar bushings?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Didn't mean to hit you to the punchline here, but
No, that's okay. I have many tricks up my sleeve.
So this means, since someone has actually looked at these and replaced them, I suspect that means that same someone has looked at the entire front end and knows that you don't have idler arms that are falling off.
You don't have an idler arm.
Ball joints that are falling off.
Ball joints you have.
Tie rod ends that are falling off. You don't have any of that stuff.
Well, when I got the shocks done, I said, see anything else? He said, well, he said he didn't really look. So that's when I came back and I brought my own bushings, because I just read about it.
So that was a self-diagnostic procedure.
So he didn't look at the other stuff.
I didn't know if there was. What else could there be, And I guess he didn't.
Well, I have to ask you one question. When it does drift to the left, and you correct to the right, does it seem like it overcorrects very easily?
Yes, Now, it's minimal. It's not as bad as it used to be, but that's the tendency.
What I think is wrong with this is something that they may easily have overlooked or done wrong.
Oh, great. Mm.
And I think that your alignment is off, especially what's called the caster.
Caster.
Yeah, the caster component of the alignment is what keeps the car going, among other things.
In a straight line.
In a straight line. Mm. And it also makes it correct to straight after you've made a turn. For example, if you're cast, you know how casters on a T-cart, the wheel will always follow behind when you turn, no matter what. It goes in the direction you push it. Well, that's what that caster part of the alignment does. It makes sure that the car follows so that when you make a turn, for example, and you let go of the wheel straighten out. And if the caster is way off, it's very difficult to drive the car at high speed because it goes kind of where it wants to go. And if you had, for example, overinflated tires, the car would be almost impossible to drive. So I'm willing to bet that whoever did your struts did not then go ahead and align the thing.
Oh, alignment. No, he did say he aligned it. He threw that in for free.
I think he aligned it wrong.
Okay.
Or it's either that or it's your girlfriend.
Oh, it's my girlfriend's fault. Can I tell her she said it was her fault?
Yeah, tell Ray. Tell her Ray said that.
I just want this to stop.
Well, good luck, and make sure you double-check the tire inflation, too, because that could do it as well.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck, Crash. You may be living up to your name if you keep driving it like this.
Okay, watch out if you're in San Diego.
Don't worry, we will.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the warning.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Daw Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Smyrna Smelt and Schmalt Spectacle, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Yeah.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Hayward Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our wine taster from the Abu Dhabi office is Hassan Bin Sober. Our staff repo man is Dave Reckoning. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Autovindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Adjustes Miros. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Tom's beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the happy hour wait staff in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, discover classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can learn about an easy way to get rid of your old car while helping your favorite radio station.
Great timing. I always get rid of my old cars in the summer.
And why is that, pray tell?
Well, you ever tried driving a car into a frozen river? It's not easy to do that.
Support your local NPR station and get a tax deduction with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Info is available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's insurance agent doubles our slander premiums whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.